WSHU delivers trusted news reporting that keeps you accurately informed and uplifting music that delights and surprises you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Randy Kaye, All Things Considered host on WSHU. It's your financial support that gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thanks for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. About 35% of Connecticut's registered voters took part in Tuesday's elections. Suffolk County will pay $9 million to the mother of Thomas Volva. Despite a blue wave in other parts of the country, Republicans maintain their stronghold on Long Island, plus follow this year's world's most famous Christmas tree from Albany to NYC. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's top election official says about 35% of the state's registered voters took part in Tuesday's municipal elections. WSHU's Epong Udama has more.
Stephanie Thomas is Connecticut's Secretary of the State. She says there were some minor glitches despite a lower voter turnout than for presidential elections.
There were about 8 towns that were running low on ballots toward the end of the evening.
In a handful of towns, including Norwalk, Torrington, and Southbury, there were problems with some of the new tabulators that had been deployed for the first time.
Many of them had to be cleaned because towns we suspect were using a type of pen where the ink didn't dry fast enough, so when it scanned through the machine, it created issues.
Thomas says the towns used special bins when the tabulators were not working.
We had reports of voters being confused by that and thinking something odd was happening, but that is actually in accordance with the regulations.
She says this was a test for the new tabulators, which will be deployed at all polling stations for next year's elections. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
A federal judge says he'll approve a $9 million settlement for the mother of a Suffolk County boy who died from child abuse. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
8-year-old Thomas Valva died of hypothermia 5 years ago after his dad and stepmother forced him to sleep in their unheated garage. His mother, Justina Zubko Valva, filed a $200 million lawsuit against several Suffolk County child protective workers, alleging they ignored multiple reports of abuse. She previously rejected a $3 million offer to settle. Zubko Valva will receive a portion of the $9 million settlement, and some will go into a trust for her other children. The Valva case sparked an overhaul at the Suffolk County Department of Social Services. A special panel recommended changes, including better training and oversight. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Democrats secured decisive wins on Tuesday in high-profile gubernatorial races in Virginia and New Jersey, but not so in the suburbs of New York City. Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman and almost all of his fellow Republicans won by large margins. Larry Levy is with the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University.
The X factor may be that the Nassau County Republican organization deserves its reputation as one of the strongest in the country. In a county, again, with enrollment numbers that favor the Democrats, Republicans pulled more of their people to the polls.
Levy says diverse suburban swing counties like Nassau can be bellwethers for national elections. Nassau voters elected 2 Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives last year and enjoy higher voter registration than Republicans. The Rockefeller Center Christmas tree returns to its New York roots. That story is ahead.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Listen, in my 20s, I had a lot of junkers, okay? I'm Davis Donovan. I'm a reporter and the host of the show Off the Path here at WSHU Public Radio. The windshield wipers barely worked. The headlights were stuck on bright. One of them, like the window, fell down into the door, so you just didn't have a window. Man, I had some that already had like 200,000 on them. Any car can turn into your favorite programs here at WSHU. Go to WSHU.org.
Federal sentencing for former Connecticut school construction czar Costa Diamantis has been postponed until after a second trial in February. Diamantis was convicted in October for taking bribes from contractors. He asked the court to delay sentencing to protect his right to remain silent ahead of a second trial in February. Repairs on the Sunrise Highway Bridge over the Shinnecock Canal in Hampton Bays have been completed. Flooding from last Thursday's storm caused dangerous erosion around the bridge's footings. Officials originally said it would take over a week to stabilize the bridge. Connecticut utility regulators approved a $15 a month bill hike for Yankee Gas residential customers. It'll affect about 250,000 residents and businesses across the state. It's about 12% less than what Eversource originally asked for. AG William Tong called the costs unsustainable. Nassau County says rabies is an imminent public health threat after dozens of cases have been found in raccoons and feral cats. They say residents should vaccinate their pets and avoid contact with wild animals. We're now in the midst of the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports on the latest impacts on our region.
The government has been shut down since October 1st. There hasn't been much progress among lawmakers to solve it. Millions of federal employees are furloughed or working without pay. Food benefits in Connecticut and New York have been severely reduced, though both states have tried to mitigate the effects. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says the legislature will meet for a special session next week to appropriate hundreds of millions of dollars to offset the interruptions. The FAA says it will cut air traffic by 10% at 40 airports on Friday because of staffing shortages, including at JFK and LaGuardia. No Connecticut airports are on the list. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
This year's world's most famous Christmas tree was donated by the Russ family of East Greenbush. That's just outside of Albany. The New York Public News Network's Samantha Simmons was there as the spruce destined for Rockefeller Center was cut down.
Judy Russ and her son Liam were running around the family property Thursday morning, jumping from supporting Rockefeller Center crew members to talking with family, neighbors, and reporters. Russ says the tree has been on her late husband's family property since the 1920s, making her son the fifth generation to experience the grandeur of the 75-foot-tall Norway spruce. Russ says this is an exciting moment, not a sad one.
This has been our backdrop, that we've had birthday parties here, weddings here, all kinds of celebrations. So it's just nice that our family tree gets to become the world's Christmas tree.
The holiday tradition at Rockefeller Center began more than eight decades ago and is billed as a quintessential New York experience. Russ's son's elementary school class came to watch too. Russ says having his friends there to share in the moment was likely the best part of his day.
He thought it was so cool that they were all here. He asked to jump out the window to say hi to them. He's just really excited to share all this with his friends in the community.
The tree took all of 5 minutes to cut, but only after a week and a half of tying up branches, cleaning it up, and further preparing the tree for its more than 150-mile journey to Rockefeller Center. Eric Posey is Rockefeller Center's head gardener. In July, he got a photo of the tree from a friend of the Russ family, and it was chosen as this year's centerpiece soon after. Since August, Jose has been coming north almost weekly to care for the tree. He says the dry summer meant it drank almost 800 gallons each week of what he calls compost tea.
This morning we came and we were prepared. We set up everything. We preset some of the hookups yesterday. And when we came this morning, it was easier because we had a little wind today. We were watching out for the wind, but we had a perfect time frame to do it right when we planned to do it. So everything worked out great. We made a great cut and picked it up and laid it on the truck.
Jose, who has been the head gardener since 1995, says he's thinking about next year's tree already, saying it takes all year to prep. He says the ideal tree is something you'd want in your living room, but bigger.
It had a beautiful shape. And I got to tell you, this year, and when I came up in July, I had a beautiful green to it, and it looked really good.
The Norway spruce will arrive at Rockefeller Center Saturday. It will be escorted down to New York City, driving under 40 miles per hour for the safety of onlookers and the tree itself. The tree, which has the largest cones of any spruce, will be decorated with more than 50,000 lights and topped with a Swarovski star. Millions are expected to visit once it's in place in Midtown Manhattan. The lights will be switched on December 3rd during a live broadcast of Christmas in Rockefeller Center, and the lights will remain on until mid-January. This is only the second time in history a tree from the Capital Region has been selected to serve as the Big Apple's holiday centerpiece. The first was in 2022, an 82-foot Norway spruce from Queensbury. Maureen Kirsch has lived in East Greenbush for many decades. Specifically how many, she wouldn't say. But she says a tree coming from her community is special to her.
That's cool, because everybody in the world sees it. Yeah.
Donor Russ says while her backyard is going to look relatively empty for a long time, Rockefeller Center is donating two Norway spruces, and a local farm has also reached out. After the holidays, the 45-foot-wide tree will be milled into lumber for Habitat for Humanity, something Russ embraces.
It's really exciting knowing that Habitat for Humanity is going to get the wood after the next family gets to build a home and make their own Christmas traditions and holiday traditions just like we did here.
For the New York Public News Network, I'm Samantha Simmons.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. Hunger touches every community, and so does generosity. Find local food drives, pantries, and meal programs on WSHU's new Community Food Resources page. Whether you'd like to give support or you need it yourself, everything is in one place at WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak with you tomorrow. Thank you.